This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Donald Trump's first executive actions included sweeping pardons and commutations for all of the more than 1,500 people who were charged in connection with the January 6th Capitol riot. ABC's Andrew Dimbert says this includes people who were convicted of assaulting police.
Among the pardoned, Julian Catter, sentenced for assaulting officers using chemical spray on Capitol Police officer Brian Sicknick. Sicknick would die one day after the riot after suffering two strokes. His brother saying the pardons are a betrayal of decency, calling President Trump a poor excuse of a man.
Other executive orders withdraw the U.S. from the World Health Organization and claim to end birthright citizenship, despite that being recognized as a constitutionally guaranteed right. South Louisiana and Texas under blizzard warnings for the first time ever, about 80% of the country under cold weather warnings. And Ohio State won college football's national championship 34-23 over Notre Dame. This is ABC News. Two Americans freed by the Taliban in a prisoner exchange with the U.S., the family of Ryan Corbett, who was kidnapped 3 years ago, says he is one of the two. In the Midwest, some diehard fans of an Ohio bar and restaurant that's closing are left with a reminder that is going to last a lifetime.
In 2008, the Melt Bar and Grilled restaurant chain offered a lifetime 25% discount for anyone with a Melt Grilled Cheese tattoo. Sporting his tat at a sort of garage sale at the last location in Lakewood, Ohio, Jordan Barrett, perusing merchandise, artwork, and small wares.
A tattoo is one thing, but if you got something you can hang on the wall and remember all the good times... That's what I wanted.
Beer glasses to decades-old Cleveland baseball memorabilia and more. Sales resume Saturday and Sunday. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
President Trump bringing back a unique fixture to the Oval Office, the Diet Coke button. It summons a valet with a Diet Coke. It was spotted again on his desk. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks at midseason. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks are at the halfway point of the regular season. 41 games completed, 41 to go. The Bucks are 24-17 so far, thanks to having just won four in a row at home. And they're in fourth place in the Eastern Conference behind Cleveland, Boston, and New York. Bucks forward, Chris Middleton.
Yeah, with an up and down season that we've had so far, I think we'll take it. Knowing that, you know, we could be better in a lot of different areas. There's a lot of games I think we dropped that we thought we should have won. But to be 7 games over 500 with, you know, all the highs and lows, I think we'll take it right now. Hopefully, you know, we keep getting those wins up and getting a higher win percentage.
The Bucks on the road tomorrow night in New Orleans against the Pelicans. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. NFL, the Chicago Bears have a new head coach, 38-year-old Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. And the Ohio State Buckeyes, the new national champions of college football after beating Notre Dame 34-23. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Comedian Dave Chappelle has made a living being funny and controversial, which is tough to do. On last weekend's Saturday Night Live, the comedian said he was tired of being controversial. During his fourth time hosting the show, Chappelle wished new President Trump good luck, joked about the LA fires, and at one point said he was never invited to a Diddy party, adding that that is a hard way to find out you're ugly. He might be tired of being controversial, but it will be interesting to see if he can avoid those urges over the next 4 years. Awards season is heating up, even for the less lesser-known award events. Saudi Arabia's Joy Awards took place over the weekend and had some serious star power in attendance. Morgan Freeman was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, which was presented by Anthony Hopkins. Matthew McConaughey was given the award for Best Personality, which is really impressive given that he makes the absolute worst commercials. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This bitter, brutal cold snap ends today. It's cold this morning, but we are going to climb into the single digits as we head into this afternoon. Temperatures will climb tonight with a little off and on light snow overnight tonight into tomorrow. Could get a half inch to an inch and then warming into the 20s by tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 16 below zero.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. Plus, when did Republicans embrace rule by executive order? We dive in with John Nichols from the Cap Times and Nation Magazine. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 21st, 2025. It is another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or watching us on social media, listening by podcast, or tuning us in through the Civic Media app. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. What's the coldest wind chill you think we can find around the region right now? Because it is so dangerously cold. I mean, this is the coldest morning that we have had in a very long time here across Wisconsin, as that mass of polar air is definitely sitting right over us. It will now start to move away, but we definitely are reaching the bottom here, quite literally, in terms of the thermometer. Let's go over that right now. Here in Chippewa Falls, it's 22 degrees below zero. The wind chill here in Chippewa Falls is minus 36. In Hayward, it is 25 below right now. The wind chill is minus 42. Wausau, your temp is a little quote-unquote warmer. It's only 20 below, but your wind chill is at 41 degrees below zero is what it feels like out there. La Crosse, you're at minus 15. Wisconsin Rapids, minus 17. Green Bay, the temperature is 11 below zero right now. Madison, minus 10. Waukesha, 13 below. And at Radio Park in Racine, where we find Greg Bach, it is minus 7. The coldest wind chill that I could find out there is in Duluth. Probably not a big surprise, where in the last hour, the wind chill at times tickled 50 below. 50 below for the wind chill. Currently, it's minus 48. Here in the Chippewa Valley, we were late Friday afternoon. We were at 36 degrees above zero, 36 above. Remember Friday afternoon? Then fast forward to Saturday night at 10 o'clock is when the temperature crept below zero. So now with it being 22 below here in the Chippewa Valley, that means we are now at our 56th consecutive hour below zero. It won't last forever. It's only going to feel that way. But yeah, it's Greg, how would you rate the wind that's out there? Not refreshing.
Not refreshing.
not bracing.
Not crisp. Not a.
No. Nope.
Not a wake you up in the morning.
Nope.
Just a full on smack in the face. Just
yes.
Whap. Just Batman to Robin's face. Whap.
Yeah. That's it. Or I mean, it doesn't feel like a gut punch, but it makes you kind of make that sound. Yeah, like you got to come ooh.
Like you, what is this? Air is being taken away from you. Like yeah. Just you're like, I got to get out of this place.
Because if it's the last thing we ever do.
Nice.
Cue up the animals. All right. If you want to share with us your tales of wind chills and temperatures, you can call us or text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or use the app or use social media to reach out to us as well. When I got to see you in Racine last Friday, when it was, what was it when I left there? Was it 44 or something like that?
Yes.
That afternoon?
Yeah. It was in the mid-40s.
And we went out to breakfast after the show, and I got a feel for just how much you love your car that you recently purchased. Loved it with the heated seats and everything else.
Heated steering wheel, too.
Does it have the heated steering wheel, too?
It does. Dumb. So,
yep.
So
no.
Dumb.
No. Sherry's got that, too, and it is one nice feature, let me tell you. You know, our first exposure to it, pardon the pun, was we were snowmobiling a few years back, and we were on, like, some tour around Yellowstone. And they're like, now, don't worry. There's nothing wrong with your snowmobile if you feel this. These are heated handles, you know, for the throttle and the brake and everything else. Yeah. And that's when we both looked at each other. We're like, want. and so when it became available in a car, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, it's nice. Although I have a steering wheel protector, so that kind of gets in the way of it. But that's not even first world problem. That's 1% problems right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, though, like so many other things, it will eventually become just a standard feature on cars. The way cameras are right now, you know, cameras are on more and more cars that you can purchase. Mm-hmm. And at first, they seemed, you know, really, really crazy.
Yeah.
Tony up in Ashland writes that he had the heated steering wheel in a rental, and it was awesome, but he follows up with, granted, it was in California, so it was entirely unnecessary. But at least he appreciated that it was, you know, it had a utility value to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So that is great. You know, I did not mention at all yesterday because of everything else going on, but apparently there's a college football is still a thing, or at least it was through last night, and now that's done.
Yeah.
When I tuned in ever so briefly, Ohio State was spanking Notre Dame and did hold on to win 34-23. So Ohio State is your national champion. And again, just the ridiculousness of this was the first year with the 12-team playoff format. Ohio State was the number 8 seed.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the olden days, when it was just like, you know, the AP rankings, the number one team was the national champion. And then for a time it was number one versus number two. And then they went with a 4 team. Now you're at 12 and that lets stuff like this happen. And Tony must have some connection because he's putting up on YouTube, Ohio, Ohio. So Ohio State, your number 8 seed, defeated Tennessee, Oregon, and Texas on the way. And Tony also puts that Ohio State also won the first 4-team playoff exactly 10 years ago.
Tony's so, like a sports guy. Like, he just knows everything about the sports.
I know. Well, if he knows the sports, then he also knows that the new college sports rankings came out yesterday, and the Badger men's basketball team is now up to number 18 in the nation. And the 18th-ranked Badger men play at UCLA tonight at 8:30, and you can hear that game on several Civic Media stations and the Civic Media app. The Marquette men's basketball team dropped from 7 to 10 in the rankings. They will play tonight at Seton Hall. We did not, I also neglected yesterday to mention Badger hockey. The women's hockey team is still number 1 in the country. They swept St. Thomas over the weekend. Their record is now 24 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie. And their next games are this weekend at home against St. Cloud State, Saturday and Sunday. Both games are sold out. You could go see the men. They had a win and a tie at Long Island University last weekend to take their record to 10 wins, 12 losses, and 2 ties. They play home this weekend at the Kohl Center against Michigan on Friday and Saturday nights. The Milwaukee Bucks play tomorrow at New Orleans. And if you missed it yesterday, the conference championships in the NFL will be Washington versus Philadelphia and Buffalo versus Kansas City. All right. Well, we have to start to tackle it at some point here. And that would be the inauguration yesterday of the former and now current president. And there's a lot to cover. And so I again offer this disclaimer that, you know, the first day is always busy anyway. And then you add all the executive orders that are on there. You get into, you know, who's in the crowd and everything else. And so here's my usual note to not get overwhelmed by all the information. And even if some things really annoy you, try to keep your eye on the ball of, are they doing what they promised? Are they doing the things that would affect you? I'm going to start with some things that don't. Well, at least you think they don't until they do. I'm talking about what has been called the broligarchy, where you had some of the world's richest people on that stage. Senator Tammy Baldwin noted it first with a post about, you know, an inauguration with the front row filled with tech billionaires does not really give the vibe that this is a new presidency that's going to be focused on working families. You had Elon Musk there doing little dances when Trump talked about landing on Mars, and then later gave a Nazi salute. And the funny thing is, you know, in mainstream media cycles, it's, you know, Elon Musk has the crowd a Twitter or confused about, you know, what his arm gesture meant. Really? Look at the arm gesture. Look at the gesture. Look at the video. Look at the photos. Keep in mind, this guy is backing in the upcoming elections in Germany, the far right party, the one with Nazi sympathies. Tell me what he did yesterday. Look at it. And don't tell me, oh, he's just there triggering the libs. No. Look at what he did. Look at what his record is. And so now, again, I said the fact that a bunch of billionaires are in the front row, you know, how does that affect you? Turns out it affects you pretty quickly. Do you remember last week we talked about another one of the bros, Mark Zuckerberg from Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram and Threads and more? Well, I saw this early this morning, and I wasn't sure if it was true or not, so of course I had to go check for myself. Keep in mind that these billionaires, Zuckerberg and the others, they're not just any billionaires, all right? We're not talking oil. We're not talking like General Motors or something like that. We're talking information. These are guys whose platforms, they can control the information you see and the information you don't see. And that sounds unnecessarily alarmist until you do this thing that I did this morning after I saw the post. Go on Instagram and go to the search bar and search hashtag Republican. And up will come a full slate of results as usual. Search hashtag Democrat. And let's see, I should have prepped this a little earlier because I don't know if Greg can see this or not on the phone. I'm going to hold this up for you, Greg, unless you've already got it there. But here's the Instagram search for hashtag Democrat. It says, you get a blank screen. It says, we've hidden these results because they may contain sensitive content. Instagram is not showing you search results when you search for Democrats, but is showing search results when you search for Republicans. What's the significance? Again, it makes it a little bit tougher for everybody to be news consumers and look for trusted sources and avoid passing on wrong information to your friends. And it's all because, again, without a fairness doctrine, without equal time, without an FCC looking over these things, it's the broligarchs who get to decide what you see and don't see on social media. So just be forewarned. Look at Trump's inaugural speech next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCL, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever is part of today's history lesson. That's coming up in just a half hour here on Up North News Radio on this Tuesday morning, January 21st. From Roger on Facebook, did everyone miss that Mr. Trump did not have his left hand on the Bible while he was being sworn in? No, it got mentioned pretty much right afterwards as well. And again, in all such things involving Trump, It could be an oversight. It could be intentional. It could also be intentional, not because he didn't want to put his hand on the Bible, but because he knew it would get talk. Let me explain what I mean. Sherry and I watch TMZ. We just need to turn our brains off at the end of the night with some celebrity news. And the paparazzi were just all worked up because Taylor Swift wore gloves while she was in the luxury box at the Kansas City Chiefs game the other day. Is she hiding an engagement ring? Is she just cold? Or is she putting the gloves on because then she knows people will speculate about whether she has a ring on or not? Donald Trump plays those games too. So, you know, was it intentional or not? Don't know. Just know that it does provide, you know, some fodder for folks to note how he chose to take the oath of office, one way or another. In our newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com, and Christina Laurie puts that together. We're going to hear a lot from her in a few minutes about one particular angle. We're just totally going to go off book here, get away from politics, and talk pizza, believe it or not. It's a very popular topic. We're going to tell you how much in just a couple of moments, but sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, back to the inauguration and Trump's speech. Now, I'm just going to go through this because I took notes all the way through. I listened so that you don't have to. And we're just going to knock down all the points on here. It's not every point that he made, but it's the ones that I felt were worth mentioning. And I'm going to do these just in order of the speech. So essentially, you're about to get an annotated version of Trump's inaugural address. Trump began by saying things like, the government is facing a crisis of trust. To which I'd respond, gosh, who caused that? Who caused that lack of trust? It couldn't have been anybody trash-talking the administration and the economy, could it? I don't know. He said North Carolina hurricane victims were treated badly. From the get-go, Trump is passing along misinformation that has been knocked down as untrue about the victims of Hurricane Helene. He said, education is teaching our children to be ashamed of themselves and hate the United States. I'm not going to explain all that. I'm just going to call BS. He went on to say that he has been challenged more than any president in history. Abraham Lincoln would like a word, as would FDR and countless others. Again, it's just BS. He referenced the assassination attempt, because of course he did, and said, quote, "My life was saved by God to make America great again." God would call BS on that, I would suspect. And I think that the families of the people who died would like a word about that and about God's preferences. He said this was the most consequential presidential election in history. I would say, yeah, perhaps. Not for the reasons that he might think. You know, stay tuned. We'll find out more about just how consequential this election turned out to be. He went on to talk about the executive orders, about the border and immigration. A lot of it was just xenophobia on display. There was just a lot of demonizing, you know, entire races of people. He talked about bringing down inflation. It's already down. He talked about making the U.S. a manufacturing nation again. It already is. In fact, if you go over to the story I wrote at upnorthnewswi.com about the inaugural address, I'll take note there for you that Wisconsin's already a manufacturing state. Nearly 9,000 manufacturing companies employ nearly 500,000 Wisconsin workers and generate an estimated $66 billion in economic input. Trump at 78 is the oldest person ever to take the oath of office. And he seems trapped in an earlier age when he talks about manufacturing jobs, you know, bringing back coal mining and things like that, when we're seeing amazing manufacturing job growth in clean energy, in new energy sources. Trump's talking about revoking an EV mandate so you can buy your choice of car. There isn't an EV mandate for controlling what car you buy. It's about tailpipe emissions and building cars that are cleaner, whether electric or gas. People still have their choice of cars. If anybody is restricting Trump's choice for consumers, it's going to be him through his tariffs that are going to limit consumer choices. Because, again, he talked about his tariffs as being a tax on other countries, and it will bring massive amounts of money into the U.S. Treasury. No, it will not. Again, for the folks in the back who might not have heard it, tariffs are taxes paid by consumers who choose to buy imported goods. They are the ones, American consumers will be the ones paying massive amounts of money and probably ruining, making inflation worse and ruining the recovery that we've got going on here. He mentioned his so-called Department of Government Efficiency, which is charged with, you know, cutting from the budget. He did not mention protecting Medicare or Social Security. So when he talks about cutting, making budget cuts, make sure you know everything is out there. Well, except tax cuts for the very wealthy. He, of course, talked about law and order, which is, of course, just a dog whistle. He did talk about how there's going to be no more gender training and no more race training in certain areas of education and the military. Let's make clear that not teaching about racism doesn't make racism go away. And not talking about tolerance for the LGBTQ community does not make our LGBTQ friends and neighbors go away. We get into the ridiculous side of the speech, the Gulf of America instead of the Gulf of Mexico. Again, it's a sideshow. Nobody's going to say Gulf of America unless they want to be laughed at. And some of them will do it on purpose, going, "Oh, I triggered you. No, you said something dumb and we're laughing at you." Mount McKinley. It was called Denali for centuries before a white dude came along who loved President McKinley and decided to name it for him. President Obama restored the name to Denali. It's going to be Denali long after Donald Trump and the rest of us are off the planet. He said President McKinley's tariffs were prosperous. No, they were bad. They were very bad for the economy and bad for the Republican Party, who lost a lot of seats when consumers saw just how bad it was. He talked about Panama. Again, that's a sideshow. The nation being disease-free under his presidency, not with Robert Kennedy in there. And he said, finally, we will not be conquered. And I would ask, isn't the conquest already underway? All right, let's do Pizza Talk with Christina Laurie next. You're up north.
Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The federal government continuing to try to get a handle on high-path avian influenza in our dairy population. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. One of their key goals right now is to find out if that high-path avian influenza gene is traveling with the milk. So they have put in a second federal order testing milk that's both stored as well as in trucks and trailers to try to figure out where high-path avian influenza is. Alex Turner with USDA's Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service says right now 28 states are enrolled, representing about 65% of the nation's milk.
States that are working through different ways to utilize the testing infrastructure that exists, as well as build some of the testing infrastructure if that doesn't exist within their state, and kind of do the surveillance testing to give us a national idea of where this virus is, where it isn't, and kind of where we're at.
Alex Turner with USDA's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. Again, 28 states now involved in testing for high-path avian influenza, representing 65% of the nation's milk. And they're looking at those milk sources, including stored milk, as well as milk transferring and moving on trucks and trailers. Markets in overnight electronic trade after the inauguration, fairly robust. Numbers are next.
Keeping Wisconsin strong. All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
So I became a Farm Bureau member almost 20 years ago to be part of the state's largest ag advocacy group. Plenty of opportunities within Farm Bureau for somebody that's involved in agriculture, whether to grow their leadership or to help be a leader in an industry that we have a great passion for.
WFBF.com.
They've really helped my leadership develop.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
So markets have been trading for a few hours after the long weekend, and currently what we're looking at is March corn's up 2.5, 486 and three quarters. December corn down a penny at 455. March soybeans are currently 15 cents stronger at 1048, with November new crop up 8 at 1036. March wheat 8 cents stronger right now at 547. July new crop up 7 at 567. February class 3 milk that goes into cheese right now a penny stronger, 2019. March is unchanged at 1994 a hundredweight. There's your market update. I'm PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This bitter, brutal cold snap ends today. It's cold this morning, but we are going to climb into the single digits as we head into this afternoon. Temperatures will climb tonight with a little off and on light snow. Overnight tonight into tomorrow could get a half inch to an inch, and then warming into the 20s by tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 16 below zero.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
How will the incoming presidential administration impact you? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams following Monday's inauguration on Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Thank you.
Welcome back on this Tuesday morning. Let's change gears now, and we will get back to yesterday's inauguration in just a bit. But first, Christina Lorie is here, as always on Tuesdays, to talk about some of the stories that you find at Up North News on our newsletter, on our website, on social media. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for booking me for this segment and not the inauguration.
No,
I feel very good about my positioning.
Yes, we need a palate cleanser. And you know, there's no palate cleanser like pizza. And that's where we're going to start because, and I'm going to gush a little bit here, okay? Because again, I'm the OG Up North News person, okay? In the room, we send the first newsletter to six people. The six of us that are in the room, how it has grown. And when that first year, when we would start doing feedback from the audience on like Facebook or whatever, we might get four comments or six comments about a question. And we recently put up about the Badger State becoming part of America's pizza belt. And in our post, you know, we asked three questions about pizza. And Christine, I know you see the emails more often than I do, but I'm looking at the emails from this one pizza post and dozens upon dozens of responses of pizza joints all over Wisconsin. It was just so cool, if you don't mind me gushing a little bit.
Well, people are just so passionate about pizza. And I just think that's so cool. I've mentioned it many times before. I'm from the Chicago area. I knew that was a thing there. I didn't know people had such strong opinions about it here as well. I mean, and it makes sense because we make the best cheese in the country.
Right.
So we should have the best pizza. A whole bunch. I mean, I think I stopped counting it once I reached 250 responses.
Yeah.
People just kept, they kept pouring in and in and in. A few of the most common places mentioned, and of course, this they tend to be in the more populated areas. So when people say, why aren't there more places up north? Well, not as many as our readers live in up north Wisconsin, despite what our name might suggest. But a few of the most popular were Santino's Little Italy in Milwaukee, which I have been to. It is absolutely delicious. It's known for its Marzano, which combines San Marzano tomato sauce and pesto sauce together with spicy Italian sausage and mozzarella. So add that to your guys' bucket list.
Okay.
Also on the list was another one of my personal favorites. It's actually my neighbor here in Madison, Salvatore's Tomato Pies. They now have three locations across the area. That is absolutely wonderful. And it's owned by an absolutely wonderful man, Pat DePula, who is always giving back. So you can feel extra good about buying there. And then one that was also mentioned several times was Wells Brothers Pizza in Racine. And Pat, you just got back from Racine. Have you ever been there?
I had not. And I saw so many places there and in the Kenosha area, Kenosha being close to Chicago, folks love their pizza there and their pizza joints. I mean, well, at least one person sent in like a half a dozen places in Kenosha to try. So everybody's got their own little favorite hometown deal. And that would include, like, we got Scotty's in Marshfield. We got the Wheelhouse in Wapaka. Doug wrote in about Ted's Pizza in Menominee, and he lives up in Cumberland, up there on Pipe Lake. There was Frankie's in Ashland. So, I mean, we definitely got people from all over the state, from, you know, Cornell here in Chippewa County. We were just thrilled at all of the responses. There's Lake Country in Turtle Lake. Here's one from Shell Lake, Tony's Riverside in Spooner. So, I mean, people definitely have their favorites. When you take the time to send an email like this or to put something up on social media, you know, that's I hope the owners of these places understand the love they've generated.
Absolutely. And just one word of caution, because this can get kind of contentious and people love to, you know, shout out one place and then there's always someone, oh, I think that pizza is absolutely gross.
Yeah.
So before you go to any of these places, maybe do a little Google search to make sure it's the type of pizza that you like. So if that's not your cup of tea, like, maybe don't head to that one.
Yeah.
But also, maybe refrain from knocking it on social media. These are all wonderful small businesses. They've been around so long because people do love them.
Let people like what they like. There was a note here from Garrett Mathwig with Moonridge Brewing in Cornell, who again offered to give you a tour of the locations and sample the beer and the pizza. They are just up the river from me here. So if, when you finally make it up here to Chippewa, we'll go as far as Cornell and do that. And maybe sample some of the other pizza places around here.
Sounds like a tough job, huh?
We'll do it. Oh, here's one for Drags up in Rice Lake. Of course you can't, but then again, there will be other people that'll say Drags is fine, but then there's Kids Corner Pizza up at the other end of downtown Rice Lake. So your point is very well taken. People like what they like. The other two questions, by the way, were favorite pizza chain, not just a standalone local shop, favorite pizza chain and favorite frozen pizza that's available in Wisconsin. And again, answers all over the place on there. People clearly showing that they have their favorites and they like to talk about them.
Absolutely. And what a lot of people don't realize is that many of the top selling pizza, frozen pizza brands in the country are all headquartered here in Wisconsin.
I know in Madison, I had always been a Glass Nickel fan until my buddy Kevin, who lives in Madison, took me to Buck's Pizza. And now I can't get enough of that either. And trust me, there's room for everybody. There's room for everybody's likes and sample different things. Don't get stuck in a rut, you know? So
we're all adults. You can order pizza once a week from a different place every single week if you want.
Oh, this was a refreshing change of pace. Let's go from pizza to burgers and the world's most beautiful McDonald's. Now, I know you can measure McDonald's by sales and, you know, by drive-through traffic and everything else, but world's most beautiful McDonald's, that's a new one on me.
Yeah, who knew that they'd give out this award? And especially who knew one of the world's most beautiful would be here in Wisconsin. The other locations on the list are in Portugal, Australia, the Netherlands, places that are known for their beautiful architecture. Not to knock ours, we're just not as old. So we haven't had as many years to create these beautiful buildings. But apparently the McDonald's in the Wisconsin Dells is among the greatest. It's among the top 13 in the world. If you haven't been there, it looks a lot like a log cabin. It's built on the site that used to be Fort Dells there. So it's a nod to that. You'll find wood carved bears, mountain moose heads. There's actually an entire arcade inside there as well. So it's not your original McDonald's, but they do serve all of the typical McDonald's food. So you can feel good about that.
I think that'd be a nice one to see, though. I will admit I got a little sidetracked when you started rattling off locations and you said Portugal, where I'm going to be traveling in a few weeks. And so there is a McDonald's in Porto that I'm looking at right now, and it is, and we're going there. It's gorgeous. I'm now going to a McDonald's in Portugal in a few weeks, just based on this story alone. This is going to be fun. I'm going to take some pictures of that. But if you can't get to Portugal, get to Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah. There's also a few other ones in the U.S. on the list. There's one in Sedona that is really pretty. One original location that I think is in Frisco, California. That's also just if you want to see an old McDonald's. Also, shout out to my neighborhood, just one town over from where I grew up in Des Plaines, Illinois, is the first ever McDonald's. It's still there. It's not operating. It was actually like really badly damaged in a few series of floods. So I don't know that anyone is even allowed inside anymore, but it just has those old timey arches and it's nice to drive by.
When you say Des Plaines, is any chance it's like when you say one of the first ones, like did you ever see The Founder, the Michael Keaton movie about Ray Kroc? Yeah. So that was probably one of the first ones that was, you know, in the movie as they were starting to open up places.
It was like the very first location. And a lot of people actually don't realize McDonald's is still headquartered in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the location that is like right in the heart of downtown, it's the only McDonald's in the entire world that sells McDonald's menu items from around the world. So you can order the stuff that's, you know, on the menu in Tokyo, Japan or Sydney, Australia. And they have the wackiest combinations of stuff. And they're always updating it too. So it's It's really fun. Who thought that out of all the places in Chicago I could recommend going to food, I was going to recommend a McDonald's. But
right. Or that you could plan road trips around McDonald's and see the most beautiful ones and the most historic ones, you know. We had an article in the newsletter last week about women-owned breweries in Wisconsin. And there's one obvious one, but then plenty of others that you want people to know about.
Yes. And especially now, it's important to buy from places that you support what they stand for and their owners. So I'm going to shout out four of these local breweries that are all owned by women. And just a disclaimer, in case you're wondering why that matters, you're probably a man first. So sorry to knock your entire species, Pat. But Giant Jones Brewing Company here in Madison, it's owned by two queer women. They make the absolute most fantastic beer. Give it a try. New Glarus, the makers of Spotted Cow, surprisingly, was started by a woman. She still owns the company.
Yes, she does.
She's married. Her husband is the master brewmaster, but she takes charge of all things business. And she is a total boss because that company could not be thriving more. The Wisconsin Dells Brewing Company, which is located inside Moose Jaw in the Dells, is another one that's owned by a woman. And then Zambaldi Beer in Green Bay. So the next time you're up there to visit Titletown, maybe you're planning a trip in April for the NFL draft, that's a great woman-owned brewery too.
Okay.
It's always hard to come up with these lists of best breweries in Wisconsin because it's like, what angle can we take this time? There are just so many. So that's why I'm shouting out women-owned breweries today, but you really can't go wrong with any beer made in Wisconsin.
No, you really can't. And again, plan if you're looking for a theme for road trips or for beers to try, you know, you could do worse. Give this one a go. And again, look for our story on social media and in the newsletter there as well. And before we finish here, we know the Badgers have been part of the men's basketball team, a West Coast road trip. And before that started, they were able to hit a historic milestone for the coach.
Yes, we just wanted to give a little shout out to Greg Gard because he's Cobb, Wisconsin's very own. He was born and raised here, spent his entire life here. He just got his 200th win last week, which is obviously a very impressive milestone to hit. Only three coaches, including him now, in Wisconsin history have ever hit that. Of course, most notably, the winningest coach in Wisconsin history, his mentor, Bo Ryan, hit that. And just while reading, you know, there are obviously every time someone reaches a milestone, there are a bunch of stories done about them. What I didn't know, I knew that Greg Gard and Bo Ryan's partnership went back, you know, decades and decades. But Ryan actually met Gard when he was an eighth grader and attended his summer basketball camp. Then the two stayed in touch. Eventually, when Gard went to college, he volunteered at that same camp. And then the two began one of the most tremendous partnerships in all of college sports, probably. And it just, kudos. It's always nice to see someone born in Wisconsin stay loyal to the school the entire time. It's not that Greg Gard didn't get offers from other programs. He just chose Wisconsin over them.
I have to ask, since you're not quite walking distance away, but do you go to many Badger sports out there, either the men's basketball, women's, the volleyball, hockey, anything like that?
I do. I've been to many this year. Most notably, I was at that Arizona game, which was super fun, that upset. I had never been part of a court storming, and I cannot say I was part of one by choice this time. I was kind of taken there by the crowd, but it was incredibly enjoyable. There just have been so many good wins. That one last week against Ohio State, it just, you know, it shows you that the Badgers really can hang with anyone. And it also shows you how contentious the Big Ten is. You can never take any win for granted. The Buckeyes might not have been ranked this year, but they're ranked pretty much every other year, and they're always put up a good fight.
Sure. I mean, they will be part of the conversation in March when at least when things get started. Yes, Marquette, we see you too. And Green Bay and UW, we'll be talking about y'all later. But for Greg Gard's 200th win, we thought that deserved a special note. Christina, thanks again so much. Appreciate it. You can see her newsletter work by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for having me.
All right, back to today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome to today's history lesson, which starts with a little Saturday Night Fever. Oh, those were the days. The bell bottoms and the polyester pantsuits and the embroidered jeans and the disco ball. What am I doing? I was 13. I had a curfew and a bedtime. What am I waxing nostalgic about? Dan Hagen is here from WJFW TV and Rhinelander Newswatch 12, where I'm sure it's a balmy what in Rhinelander right now?
Negative 23. I'm about to go outside and sunbathe.
Yeah, 23 below zero in Rhinelander. All right. Well, the reason we started with Saturday Night Fever is the soundtrack album to the 1978 blockbuster movie hit number one on this day and would stay there for an astonishing 24 weeks as the number one album. And I can attest it was just everywhere. On this day in 1950, what?
Grandpa, well, tell us more about disco.
Oh, man.
I also have to say, you say we repeat, we Valley. That was a Valley in culture, I feel like.
What? Disco.
A what culture?
We valleyed, you know, instead of peaking.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Someone thinks he's funny.
It was the peak of disco. One could argue whether it was peak cultural moment or not. But yes, it was a fever pitch, you could say. Congratulations to all you Kiwanis out there. Kiwanis International was founded in Detroit on this day in 1915. Very pro-service organization here as somebody who's been a Rotary Club member in the past. And I am quite certain, Dan, that Rhinelander has a vibrant service organization group with Rotarians and Optimists and Kiwanis and everybody else over there.
Absolutely. Kiwanis Club is leading a revitalization of a local park, so we're a big fan of them here.
That is wonderful. Okay. Let's see. The birthdays today include the late Edwin Starr, born this day in 1942. This was his big hit.
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, spoiler alert, dude.
Sorry.
On this day in 1793, Louis the 16th, having been found guilty of treason by the French National Convention, was executed by guillotine. The late Mac Davis had several hits in the 70s. He was born this day in 1942. Happy birthday to singer Billy Ocean. He is 75 today. See, we talk about disco like it was just a 70s thing, but, you know, dance music weaves all the way through. This was your mid-80s kind of disco.
I always felt like we missed the ball when Billy Ocean and Michael McDonald didn't put out a song together. Because it would have been so nice.
Would have been pretty good there, yes. Golfer Jack Nicklaus, 85 years old today. Spanish tenor Plácido Domingo is 84. Actress Gina Davis is 69, and Emma Bunton is 49. Emma Bunton, do you know your Spice Girls, Dan? Which Spice is Emma?
I have no idea. Never.
You liar. You know that it's Baby Spice. Don't you kid me. Let's see. The number one song this week in 1984 was by Yes. This is also the anniversary of the birthday of the late Wolfman Jack, born Robert Smith in Brooklyn, New York. In the 1960s, he used to blast rock and roll to the masses from a pirate radio station in Mexico, XERF-AM.
Can you do a Wolfman Jack impression, Pat?
I cannot. Okay. I don't believe. No. Well, I mean, I could, but it would
hurt your voice.
It would hurt the listener's ears is what it would do. You know, Bon Jovi, you're a bit of a fan there, Dan? Yes, maybe?
Not really, nope.
Really?
What do you like, Dan?
60s, 70s, skip to the 90s. Okay. Nothing 70s,
80s. Well, the reason I say that is I think a lot of folks would, if you ask them, when did Bon Jovi first come on the scene? I would guess a lot of people would say sometime in the 90s, right? Or do they associate Bon Jovi with the 80s?
Yes.
Okay. All right. They released their self-titled debut album this week in 1984. That's the kind of thing, if you did it on the piano, your parents would be like, stop banging on the piano. Don't play with the piano.
I didn't pay for piano lessons. You play the rock and roll music.
And finally, Newt Gingrich became the first ever Speaker of the House to be reprimanded for ethics violations on a very bipartisan vote of 395-28. Gingrich was accused of lying to investigators looking at his claim of tax-exempt status for a college course he was teaching that they say turned out to be dripping with partisan politics and attracting political cash from industry in exchange for including their talking points in his lectures. This week in 1997.
That's adorable.
Back when, when you could have a bipartisan vote on ethics charges, ethics violations. Yeah, in Congress. Let's see. Dan, you can hang around into the first part of the next hour, right?
We can find
out a little bit more about what you're covering up there in Rhinelander. Let's see. Tony, of course. Thankfully, we've cleaned up politics since then. Back in 1997.
Yep.
And Robin Tigerton tells us, you have to play Oh Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble. You know, that song, you really can't play that one anymore like you could in the 70s. He loved Wolfman Jack on the Midnight Special on Friday nights after the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Mm-hmm. Wolfman Jack, a true legend indeed. So when we come back, we're going to visit more with Dan Hagen about what Newswatch 12 is covering up in the Rhinelander area. We will also be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan, who skipped the inauguration and took part in day of service activities, and find out a bit more about that. We'll visit with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO, and we will talk about all the executive orders that Donald Trump issued. Some have some substance. Some are just for show. This is
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump plans to meet today with the leaders of the House and Senate as Republicans now have full control of two branches of government. But the president spent his inauguration day flexing the full power of the executive branch, as ABC's Mary Bruce explains.
Granting a blanket pardon to virtually everyone charged or convicted for the January 6th attack and moving quickly to undo the agenda of his predecessor as Trump promises to usher in a golden age for the country.
He signed executive orders that declare an emergency at the southern border, that end birthright citizenship, and also pull the U.S. out of the World Health Organization and the Paris Climate Accord. Almost 2,000 flights have been canceled today. Winter weather and extreme cold affecting tens of millions. There's also a blizzard warning in effect for parts of the Texas and Louisiana Gulf Coasts. Meanwhile, dangerous conditions return to California as high winds resume. This is ABC News.